There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to adjust it. We are controlling transmission. We will control the frequency. For the next 3 hours, sit quietly and we will control all that you hear. You are about to participate in a great adventure.
Now, more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS, present Jack Ebling and Tom Crawford.
Great morning, Mid-Michigan. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Tom, we're back together in the studio.
Yes, finally some continuity. A little bit of continuity here on Saturday morning, November 20th. This is supposed to be Michigan-Ohio State week, Michigan State-Penn State week,
right
before Thanksgiving.
Pushed it back. You know who didn't like that? Jim Tressel didn't like that. Had lunch with him.
Because he likes to have the turkey go down smooth after a victory over the Wolverines 4 days prior, right?
Yeah, he said once the season is over, then everyone goes home. And we said, hey, how come the Big Ten's been so bad in bowl games? They've got this six-week layoff. I mean, 5 weeks is still long enough.
There's karma here, though. There is karma because my senior year, 1979, I went down to the Michigan-Ohio State game with some fraternity brothers of mine. It was the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We came back on Friday and met, and we stayed with some folks, a friend of mine down in Columbus. And so maybe there's a sign.
This could happen again, and maybe Michigan could send Michigan State to the Rose Bowl.
31 years later? Is that how long it's been? Wow. Scary.
Well, you're talking about since 77?
Since 79. Since the last time, I'm going back in time. I mean,
Michigan State has played Penn State after several times where the Michigan game has been first, and then they've moved the Michigan State game off that weekend.
So it has not been
the same as the Michigan-Ohio State. Michigan-Ohio State's always been in that regular window.
I remember in 1997 because I went to the Michigan State-Penn State game after Michigan was sitting back fat and sassy at 11-0.
That was an amazing game because Michigan State had two 200-yard rushers, and Joe Paterno was so disoriented that he walked into a closet. I'll never forget it.
Standing there in the
tunnel of Spartan Stadium, and boom, he just walks right into the wrong place. But we have a lot to talk about today, and not just college football, though we will be, as usual, talking a great deal about that. We've still got some high school teams in action, Tom.
Yeah, today in the semifinals, they always play on Saturday afternoon.
You like that?
Well, you know what's good about it? It's starting to get cold this time of year.
Yeah.
I mean, last night would have been a pretty chilly for a high school football game.
A little bit better conditions.
Probably would have hit attendance a little bit, although you're competing. Now, here's the downside of that. You're competing with Michigan State. They both have home games this Saturday.
Right.
Senior day.
Right.
Michigan State's got, it's pretty relevant this year. I mean,
for a change.
Michigan's got a big game in Wisconsin. They can, make their season a little bit more meaningful. And now that you got high school games, so people have to make choices.
I would say a win today for Michigan validates a lot of things. I don't expect it, but I think that it would certainly. Michigan has 7 victories. That's not bad. 7-3 is not bad. However,
it's who they're against and who they're not against.
They haven't beaten a team that's bowl eligible.
No, they haven't, and that's the whole thing. How they done against Ohio State, Michigan State in the last couple of years? Terrible. Against good team. I mean, they've beaten Illinois, which is we thought was going to be decent, and their credibility went just in the tank. Yeah, and then, I mean, come on, who are their other wins against? I mean, I'm realistic about it. I'm a little bit positive about some things. But in the big picture, it's still this discouraging cloud that's hanging over the program.
A win today, or certainly a win at Ohio State, or a bowl win, I think would go a long way.
Then that changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
But ifs and buts were candy and nuts, what a Merry Christmas we would have. And will that happen today? Will that happen next week in Columbus?
Senior day in Ann Arbor and East Lansing. Michigan State going to say goodbye to Greg Jones, and you can make an argument that he is one of the top 3 linebackers. Some people are saying the top linebacker. I'm not buying that, but I'm saying he is one of the top linebackers Michigan State's had, and he has a great chance to win the Butkus Award.
Yeah, what's keeping you from saying one of the best?
I mean, because I watched Dan Bass play 44 games and start every one of them and make 32 tackles in his first game. 32 tackles against Ohio State his first game.
That's a lot of tackles. That's like every other play.
I watched him return an interception, 99 yards for a touchdown against Wisconsin. Had he been on a team that had gotten national publicity, Michigan State couldn't because they screwed up. They were on probation and never got to a bowl game.
Dan Bass, was he like a freshman in 79? I'm trying to think.
Freshman 76.
Oh, 76. What am I thinking about? 76.
76. Yeah. 76 from Bath, Michigan. 79.
Yeah. Yeah. So he played for Darryl. He never played for Muddy.
Never played for Muddy. Played
right.
for Darryl.
I gotcha.
Yep.
I remember Dan Bass. He was good.
Yeah. He was very good. And Percy Snow. I mean, the guy's MVP of the Rose Bowl. You don't see that very often from a linebacker.
Right.
But, they're number one and two on the tackles chart, and you couldn't catch Dan Bass if you played 55 games.
But if I'm a Spartan fan, I'm going to look at Greg Jones in a special light because of the fact he came back. He could have gone out early, and they had a meet. They're having a great season. And, despite the fact the fans don't seem to totally buy into this thing, the fact that this game is not a sellout
right.
shocks me.
Right.
It something's wrong. Something's wrong out there. It's not like the stadium is gargantuan.
No, it's not.
It's an average size,
and they're getting good crowds. They'll have more than 70,000 tickets sold. They'll be close to sell out, but it's not. You're right. It's not quite what it should be.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't know why.
What does it take?
I don't know.
Did the Iowa loss push people backwards a little bit?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't know how many people went into the season thinking this team was going to go undefeated. I mean, it's never won 11 games in its history. It's got a great chance to do that if it wins two of the last three. Talking about Greg Jones, we did a big piece on Greg Jones as a cover of, did I give you this?
No.
The new sport magazine?
No, you haven't.
Very interesting the way he was recruited to Michigan State. Had Glenn Mason not gagged away that bowl game to Texas Tech.
Right. Everything changed.
He'd have been a Gopher. He was already committed to Minnesota. And when Mark D'Antonio was trying to recruit him, couldn't figure out why he couldn't get to first base with this guy. And finally, Greg Jones told him, he said, "Coach, it's the Mall of America. The Mall of America." D'Antonio says, "Hey, we got a lot of malls here, too.
We got Meridian.
Yeah.
Lansing
Mall. Frandor.
Eastwood Town Center."
But that's kind of the way things have gone here for this program, and they have built brick by brick. And still have some building to do. Don't let anyone tell you this is a finished work at Michigan State. And we know it's not at Michigan. We know that there's going to be some changes. There have to be some changes.
There has to be some changes on as far as at least Rich Rodriguez allowing Greg Robinson to, give your guys an opportunity to do their craft and don't overrule everything. That's not good leadership. Good leadership is allowing your experts to be experts. And that's not happening
right.
in Ann Arbor right now.
Right. Yeah, and he made a change. He brought in a new coordinator. So you figure.
Right.
Did that for a reason.
Right. So, there's going to be, we're going to find out a lot today. We're going to find out a lot today in Ann Arbor
yeah.
about that defense. They're young, but how do you be young every year?
John Clay's not going to play.
Yeah. That's still a good.
Although,
football.
The story is, I guess he could. What does that mean?
That means if they get behind, he's going to come in? Is
yeah,
that it?
I guess.
I don't know.
Why would you not have the best running back in the Big Ten play if he could play?
I mean, Wisconsin has a lot on
they
the
do.
Line. But Wisconsin will have a lot of fans there, I will tell you. I mean, it's not going to be like Ohio State last year where they took over the stadium, but they will find their way in. They travel well.
They have three running backs with more than 500 yards. So they've split it pretty much between
right.
White and Ball and Clay. So,
yeah.
All right. 393-3700, 393-3700, the number to call. We're going to have some tickets to give away, too.
We
have a lot of guests. Let's go out to our phones, and let's try John Freeberg on line one. Hello, John. How are you?
Good, Jack. Hey, it's a good thing that David Brandon is not the athletic director at Michigan State because he's proposed building a smaller stadium for Spartan Stadium.
There you go.
That's his
right. Problem is, it's too big. It's just too big. Zach will never let that one go away. Of course, I just never let it go away right now. Then, too.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that.
Assist Crawford.
John, do you have tickets to today's game?
Yes.
Okay, good, good. Because we're
going to
have
a
couple pair to give away a little bit later, and we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. So.
That's excellent. Hey, one thing. High school football needs to be played on Friday night, man. I don't care if it's 20 below zero. Played on Friday night.
There's something to be said about that. Last night was just a bland night. It's like, what do I do? I mean, there was There was nothing. There was no high school football.
But I was in sports withdrawal last night. I couldn't go.
I know. He calls me up.
Terrible.
Scott and I just finished here. I started walking out the parking lot, and I got a message from John. He's in total withdrawal.
I couldn't handle it. I didn't know what to do.
All right, John. Well, enjoy the game today.
Yes.
Stay warm.
You guys have a great day. All
right. 393-3700. 393-3700. Let's go back to our phones. How about Mark Dotson from East Lansing? Hello, Mark.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. On the way to the game.
All right. Which Michigan seniors are you going to miss the most?
Well, they're not. There's not a lot of them.
Mouton.
Right.
There's not a lot. It's
Mouton.
Like,
probably Mouton.
Jonas Mouton.
No, they're not a lot of them.
Who's been an up and down kind of kid, but he's come strong. He's had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
By and large.
Tom, where does the notion come from that Rich Rodriguez is not letting Robinson do his thing?
Just from what I'm talking to some experts in the media.
What are they saying?
They're saying that he overrules what Greg Robinson wants to do on that defense. That's garbage.
I'm telling you, that's garbage.
That's garbage. Cite your source on your garbage.
Just look at the facts, Tom. Rich Rodriguez was criticized in the middle of this year, if you recall, for not being involved enough with the defense. He said, I don't coach the defense. I let them do their thing, and he got criticized for that. He said, I'm an offensive coach. I'm not a defensive coach. They do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Greg Robinson's defense sucked. Nobody was claiming that Rich Rodriguez was involved.
How about the 3-3-5? How about the overruling on the 3-3-5 part of the Purdue game 2 years ago? How about that?
The overrule. Say that again?
3-3-5. He mandated the 3-3-5 in the Purdue game 2 years ago.
Tom, Schaefer ran. What about all the other games? What about all the other games that they played? They've always changed. If you're a historian, Michigan has always come up with something different against Purdue.
Yeah,
Herman did it. Lloyd did it. And Michigan's always done something different against Purdue. So if they ran a 3-3-5 one game against Purdue 2 years ago, all the other games where Michigan was playing piss poor defense were on Schaefer. Last year, there was no claim that Rich Rodriguez ran the defense. Robinson, well, at least there wasn't anyway. They were poor last year.
Okay, let me ask your opinion right now. Let me just stop you just for a second. Okay,
go ahead.
So the problem is Greg Robinson. You're saying Rich Rodriguez is letting G Rob do everything he wants to do. So and it's all his fault. Is that what you're saying?
I did not say that Rich Rodriguez is letting G Rob do everything he wants to do. He would get criticized if he let Greg Robinson do everything he wants to do. No head coach does that. Nobody operates that way. But the notion that Rich Rodriguez has somehow got his hands all over this defense—I
didn't say all over. He's overruling a lot of the. That, this is what I'm hearing from experts. Experts that have a closer hand on the program than you do.
No, they don't.
Okay, how do you get your hand in the mix here?
Tom, look at the facts. Last year, was there any suggestion that Rich Rodriguez was running the defense? None, right?
This year is what I'm hearing, not last year.
Tom, they were poor last year. You think they're going to come into this year and say, let's do the same thing we did last year?
They are poorer this year. They can't tackle.
Are they?
On defense? Did you see the Illinois game, Jack?
I thought they were poor last year.
Oh,
they were poor last year. They were poor.
Oh my God! The wheel route, two wheel routes back to back, nobody within 12 yards of him. That's a good defense.
Well, if you watch them on defense, Rich Rodriguez, watch them play on defense. Robinson calls the shots. Jack, quick question.
Yes.
Have you heard Drew Sharp's criticism of the Michigan State brass with regard to the Tom Izzo thing?
I haven't talked to Drew about it.
You mean the extension of the contract?
Yeah.
Have you heard it?
I've heard about it. I haven't talked to
Drew.
Let me tell you
what he's saying.
All right.
He's saying that the Michigan State administration criticized the media earlier this year when Izzo was going through his thing, saying that they were making up stories.
Mm-hmm.
Suggesting that Tom Izzo was not parlaying this into a contract extension, when indeed that was not the case.
Well, Drew is misinformed, and I can tell you that.
I know he's misinformed. I'm just curious as to whether or not you heard that, because I thought that, and they went with it all day yesterday.
Right.
On the radio, and I just thought that was kind of odd, man.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Yep. We will talk more about Tom Izzo's contract coming up shortly, but very good point. And Tom, we'll
how do
go
you
back
know what's right
Michigan
and what's
defense.
Wrong? How do you know Mr. Answer Man's right there all the time? How do you know that?
You don't. You never do. That's why we have this show.
Yeah,
that's why it's so much fun. All right, we will be back. 393-3700, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.